Just a few moments ago, I read from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I believe that. I don't have to tell you anything about what you've heard on radio stations, on televisions, over the internet. I have approved this message. Just want to start out like that to tell you. You know that we have a big decision coming up. People are all up in arms. People are worried about things. People are concerned about things. People are always in they question things that go on and in this country. They question things that go on within our lives. They question things that go on within our families. But I just want to tell you this morning, I have come here for one purpose and one purpose alone, to tell you that God, my God, is still on the throne. Amen. I come here this morning to tell you, no matter what you hear, no matter what things bring questions to your mind, to your heart, no matter what things that you go through your life, no matter what things that you have happen within your family, no matter what that doctor may tell you, God is still on the throne. And God's people, if they will simply line up with Him, lifting our families, lifting our churches, lifting... Goodbye, Brother Bill. Love you, buddy.
Baptists are always late.
And Baptists are always late, I can tell you. No matter what you hear, no matter what thoughts throw through your mind, what are the things that come within your heart, know that my God still loves you. Brother Matt gets up and sings that song, He Loves Me, and that's one of those songs that I've really got to work on, because every time he sings it, I start to get a tear and I start to do my throat. It's hard to sing when you're so emotionally moved by a song. But it is a message that continues on. It is a message that needs to be heard. It needs to be heard from the White House to the Capitol, to the Senate. Every part of our government, everyone who is in leadership is simply in leadership because God, my God, has authorized it. It needs to be sounded out from the hilltops, from the hillsides. Is that me ringing or is that you? I can talk a little lower. I can.
Must be your cell phone ringing.
Must be. I can sit there and go, okay. But I feel without a doubt that this is a special time. It is a special time for churches. It is a special time for God's people too. And an old phrase that I heard many, many years ago, keep the faith. You gotta keep the faith. As more people around you, there disturb upheavals. And you know how those political discussions are. Boy, they get heated. People are back and forth. My God is still the same God of Isaac, of Abraham. He is still the same God of today. He is still the same God for tomorrow. And that is where my faith lies. Because today is the day of salvation. Now, what is salvation? Very simply, I have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come within my heart. I have realized that I am simply a sinner saved by grace. When you see those guys up there, you see sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. When you walked in today, you are still simply a sinner saved by grace. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. We are all the same level at the bottom of the cross. God doesn't love you more than he loves me, than he loves Kevin, than he loves Becky. No, we are the same at that cross. Every one of us, a sinner saved by grace. You simply ask him to come within your heart. And he makes a change. Old things are passed away. What does the Bible say? Behold, all things are what? New, new, new. I like it new. I like new things. I think you ought to get up every morning with your salvation with a new car smell. You know what I mean? You ever get in that one, open the door, go, oh, this is a new one. I rode in somebody's car, you know, and I go, man, I got to go clean my car because my car is not that old. But I tell you, sure doesn't smell like that new car one does when you open the door. That's the way my salvation is every day. Does that mean that I have to get saved every day? Oh, no. No, no, no. Once that you have made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ to place him within the center of your heart, that is locked away. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what anybody else is going to tell you. I don't want your teetering over there on the edge. I'm not sure. No. I am saved by the grace of God because that's what God's word says and I believe it. So this thing about daily, this is the day of salvation, it goes further than that. And how it goes further than that, it changes the way that I live. Amen? Because now I have something to live for. I have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and now I have something to live for. I have God's Holy Spirit living within me and guiding me within my life. It says in the New Testament there, open the book of Matthew's, that Jesus told him, he says, I will send a comforter. You remember that term? A comforter. If we went way back and we looked at the Greek words written in those there, that comforter, if you want to look at the real meaning of it, is sort of like a thing called a co-pilot. Now, you may not like it, you may not think it's spiritual, doesn't matter to me because I'm going to keep on. I play a game called golf. We put these little pegs in the ground, we sit little balls on them, we hit them far off in the distance and go hit them again. Probably the craziest thing for you non-golfers that you've ever, amen, it is, it's just silly. It's, why, you know, my father says, chasing a ball around a big field with a bunch of sticks, have you lost your mind? He doesn't try to kind of sugarcoat it, you know. He doesn't do that. It just doesn't make sense. And the other day, I was trying to get to a golf course. It's a place up in just outside of Chantilly, and the place is called South Riding. Now, none of you've ever played South Riding Golf Course, have you? I know why you've never played South Riding Golf Course, because you can't find it. I have in my pocket, this is called a smartphone. Does nothing more than tell me that how little I know. It doesn't make me feel smart, but it just kind of, you can punch in here and you can pull up the thing known as a GPS. Now, for those of you who were preaching about this 20 years ago, you'd be scratching your head, but everybody now knows what a GPS, you know, you go, let you know where you're going, where the place is. And I punch it in, and here's the golf course, and there it is. And in my phone, it has a little blue dot on it, and that's where I am, and it has a little red dot over here, and that's my destination. And hopefully, through the route it gives me, this little blue dot comes over and gets a lot closer over the red dot there as I reach my destination. The blue dot was saying that I was very near the red dot. I was at the point that I could actually see the holes out on the fairway, but I couldn't find that clubhouse where this golf course was. And I felt very foolish. You ever get frustrated? I was getting a little frustrated. I'm looking around, I'm trying to check the signs, I'm trying to read, and you get frustrated. And finally, I pulled into the parking lot of the clubhouse just a few minutes before the tee time. And right behind me pulled a fellow by the name of Chet Young. He pulled in there, and this is because he kind of runs our little group. We have a retired men's league, and we play out there. Such fun, you know, such joy. But he pulls in, and that was very strange, because I said, brother, do you sleep in? And he come out, and he said, no. He says, I couldn't find this place. And I started to feel better. He says, you know, he says, and this is true, he says, I asked three people within the subdivision here how to get to the clubhouse. And he said, finally, the third one told me, she says, sir, I can't tell you how to get there, but if you'll follow me, I'll show you where it is. Now, if you ask me directions to somewhere, I could sit down on a piece of paper and I could write it out for you. You'd feel pretty good about it. You try to read it at the same time you're driving, but you'd feel pretty good. Or if you looked it up on the internet and you Google Maps and they download the directions and give you the turns and all that, you'd feel pretty good about that. But sometimes those things are wrong, they're incorrect, yeah? But if I jumped into your car with you and I sat over in the passenger seat and I said, brother, sister, don't worry about it. I've been there, I know exactly where it is, I'm going to take you to it. How would you feel? You'd feel awful good. You'd feel awful confident that you were going to get to the place that you were trying to get to. My friend, that's what the comforter is within my life and within your life. He is a co-pilot. He is one that will lead you, will guide you, will direct you. You have questions within your life. Where do we go for the answers of the questions of life? We go right here to God's Word. We read that Jesus is not here with us at this moment, but he has done what? He has sent a comforter, God in the form of his Holy Spirit, living within us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. That is the co-pilot of my life. You can't put all your trust in your friends. Can't put all your trust in your families. Because trust me, at certain times, everyone out there will let you down. Why? I hate to tell you this, but sometimes you let them down too. But I have a God who loved me when I was yet unlovable, and he will never, ever let me down. There is nothing going to come between me and the love of God, the old writer Paul says. I believe that. First of all, salvation is when I accept Jesus Christ into my heart as Lord and Savior. Secondly, he gives his Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, direct me every day. Thus, every day is the day of salvation, because what I asked Jesus to do when I accepted him within my heart, he does that every day by sending the Comforter to lead, guide, and direct. And I think thirdly, you got to be in a church. I think that you got to be bonded together with a bunch of believers. And that's why I love coming down to the campgrounds. You may have a membership back that you got your name on there. They may send you little cards for you to send goodies in. They may give you a newsletter. They may have you on the email list. They may have all kind of information about it to send you about your home church and all that. But when you come out here on a Sunday morning, you are a part of the church of God that meets here within this small building. And God allows, he allows his Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. He allows us to try with his help to learn how to live together in fellowship in him. And there are challenges. I have one rule in my church. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have a little thing called a membership Sunday, and I've got a number of people who want to join the church. Praise God. Amen. Love it. There's a number of questions that are asked, and there's about seven of them. Starts out, first of all, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We take care of the big ones right off the beginning. And it asks different questions, but then the seventh question is very unique. It says, will you consider the brethren, the folks in this church, to be your brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you pray for them? Will you visit them when they are sick? And you will in no way, shape, try to bring not any strife among the members of this church. We have one rule. You have to learn how to play well with the kids at this playground. Or you got to go find another playground. Kids figure it out. If there's somebody and the kids are playing and somebody's being mean, that's what do? Sooner or later, they'll just kick them out the way. Because kids want to play well with one another. I'm so excited in the place that I work at during the week. I have a condominium that I manage. There's so many children there, and they'll go out, and the game they play now is soccer. Oh, that's so big. And they'll get out on the field and the ball, and you will see every height. You will see every color. You will see every nationality represented out there. But you will see those kids playing together. Why? Because they want to play. They don't want to sit off on the side. How many churches have you seen people kind of, they don't do it my way. I sure would straighten them out if they let me get in there. That's not the way it is. The way it is simply the love of God begins within your heart the day that you accept him as personal Savior. Day by day, as you walk like that, he strengthens you through his comfort, through his Holy Spirit, allowing you to be more and more like Jesus through the leading of God's Spirit. And then he allows you to be in a church, a group of Christians. And I don't care if you got what name is out there. What are you, brother? You told me something this morning. You were a baptized, Pentecostal, Catholic. What kind of these phrases you using?
Well, someone asked me what church I belong to. I said, Baptist.
Baptist. Costal.
Well, what kind of church is that? I said, well, it's a church that the way Baptists eat and the way Pentecostals preach.
Amen. Pentecostals preaching, the Baptists eat like that's good. I was saved. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church. Walked down the aisle. Brother Sand said, come on. I just made sense to me. I walked up the aisle and said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. I went to an Assembly of God school, and that's kind of Pentecostal if you want to do it. And you know why? Because I heard those people over at the Baptist church playing hymns like this. Boy, and I walked in that Assembly of God school. Somebody got on that organ, thought I was in Shakey's Pizza over there, man. They started playing that thing, banging on and singing down. I was like, oh my goodness, I love it, I love it, I love it. I love the life and the Spirit of God, whether it's within your music, whether it's within your testimony, or simply whether it's in the smile upon your face. Oh my goodness, look at that time, brother. I hope they're singing good up at Mount Calvary. I hope they're singing good. But do you know what I'm saying to you? This last message that I give down here this year, and I want to thank you so very much for having me down here this year, it is a blessing. You don't realize how much it is, what an opportunity it is to be able to stand in front of you to open the Word of God. We don't try to make our sermons real kind of, ooh, this is a mystery thing. No, I think it's the simplest message that you can ever receive. Jesus loves you. The Heavenly Father sent his Son to die upon a cross for you. And all you have to do is accept it. Now, isn't that a simple message? A child can understand the message of Jesus. We get busy with the world. We let all these things kind of tie us in knots. We let all these things that we hear, all these things that go on within our minds and our heart, let us kind of set us back a bit. But remember the simple message that God loves me and he loves you. Amen? Amen. Brother Kevin, if you'll come forward, it's been a privilege to be able to share with you this year. And we thank you so much for that wonderful testimony that we heard just a few minutes ago. We're going to be praying for you too. We're looking forward to next year. We're looking forward to the times that will come down. We're looking forward to the sunshine that you bring us within our lives every time we open that door. So the main thing I can tell you folks is simply just keep on keeping the faith. Keep on believing. Keep on doing, because the time is near. The time is near. Amen.